So, if you turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew today. Book of Matthew. Doing something a little bit different today. We'll finish off 1 John next 2 weeks. We'll take his last 2 weeks. We'll finish them off next week and the week after. But today, because of what's been going on, there's been a lot of people I've been chatting with this last couple of weeks who've been going through lots of things, lots of storms, lots of stresses and strains. And so I thought, Lord, this is a passage that really encourages me. As we're dealing with bits and pieces ourselves, it speaks to me. So I thought, hey, I'll share it. And hopefully you're blessed too. I was blessed. I studied and prepared this week. Now, can you hear this okay? Is this all right? Okay. Just want to make sure it's not. All right. So, Matthew 14, verse 22 to 34. The title this morning is Learning to Trust and Praise God in the Storms. In the Storms. Let's read in verse 22, chapter 14. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he'd sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was against it. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Fantastic. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous or powerful or intense, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. He caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Jesus, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Great passage of scripture, wonderful passage of scripture. Storms is what the theme is that I get out of this when I go through. How do we deal with storms? What goes on in the storms? And I know that many of you are in the middle of a storm. Many of the people I talk to in the middle of a storm. Some of you are just coming out the other side of the storm, and you can see there may be light ahead or whatever. It's like, hey, we're just about out. And some of you, just to bless you, are just about to go into a storm. So as a Christian, we're always in one of those patterns, I think. And you might be saying to yourself, but I thought as a Christian, no more storms. I'm a Christian now. Everything's just coming up roses. It's all fine and dandy. It's like, well, here's one of these Bible verses that most of the televangelists don't give you as a promise. Okay? John 16:33. In this world, you will have, and they would probably put Rolls Royce, airplanes, as much money as you like. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, storms, trials, difficulties. But be of good cheer, or take courage, because I have overcome the world. So Jesus promises we will go through storms. But he's been victorious, and he will take us through each of these storms, and we will grow as we go through them. I was reading a song lyric the other day, and it says, in the storms, always remember. Oh, sorry, that's not a song lyric. That's my lyrics. I just wrote this down. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and always will. Isn't that great? Keep our eyes focused on the cross, because in the storms, when we look to the cross, God reminds us, I love you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we're part of the world, that whoever believes in him, that's us, whoever, not perish but have everlasting life. We believe in him. The cross tells us once and for all time, God loves you. No matter the storm, always start and go back to the cross. And you'll notice I've got a couple of verses here. We need to realize as we go through storms, If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is, our God is the lion. It's like no one. Who can stand against God? No one. We need to realize that God is with us and God is working all things for the good. Even though it doesn't look good what we're going through, he's working all things for the good. We need to realize that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing at all. Not even the storm you're going through. Because God is going to meet you in that storm, show you through the storm, hold you through the storm, love you through the storm. So why does the God who loves us allow storms into our lives? Why would he do this? C.S. Lewis, talking about storms, trials, difficulties, said it this way. He said, God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our storms or in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to the Lord? Or do we just think, well, it's just a storm? No, God is saying something to us. Are we listening to him? In James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, I'm just going to turn there. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, he talks about why storms. Why would God allow us to go through storms? Chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, and he says this. He says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, various storms. Do we count it joy when a new storm arrives? James is saying, count it all joy. Why? Not because we're masochistic, not because we just love to be punished or love to go through difficulties. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance. Your faith is tested. As you go through a storm, you get a chance to see, where is my faith? How does it stack up? Who am I trusting? Who am I relying upon? So often the storm comes and we go, I was relying on me. I was relying on that person. I was relying on my bank balance. I was relying on whatever it is. The Lord shows us. Then he goes on in verse 4 of chapter 1. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. And in verse 5 is the kicker where he says, and if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberally without reproach, and it'll be given to him. That as you go through storms, you realize once again, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to go to God with all of this. I'm supposed to go and talk to him about all of this. That's what the storms do. That's why God allows us to go through these storms. They help us to learn to trust God, to praise God in everything and for everything. And in the storms, like, I wish you could just say, look, just take a tablet and you'll get this. Or can you just do a course? You've got to go through them. It's the only way we grow, is through experiencing these storms. We experience his love, his kindness, his grace, his mercy, his providential care, like nowhere else. And everything's fine and dandy, and God's showing out his love upon us. We're, yeah, okay, thank you, but... when things are bleak and you experience God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, oh Lord, thank you for stepping down and reaching down and loving me. So what do we do when a storm hits? What are we going to do? Do we fall in a heap? Or do we fall into his loving arms? Where do we fall? In his arms, hopefully. The challenge, will we trust God and praise God in the storms? And this is the outline of our text today. We'll look at these assurances as we go through storms. We need to remember verse 22 that Jesus brought you here. It is no accident. Whatever it is you're facing, it's absolutely no accident. Verse 23, Jesus sees, Jesus knows. Jesus is praying for you in your storm. Verse 24 and 25, Jesus will come to you in the storm. He's going to actually meet you in the middle of your storm. He's already there with you. But so often it's in the storm you go, oh, I didn't realize you're here with me the whole way. Thank you, Lord. Verse 28 and 33, Jesus will help you grow through your storm, just like we've been talking about in James. Your fear will turn to faith. That faith results in action, and then that action leads to worship as we trust in him. And in verse 33 and 34, Jesus will see you through every storm, even this storm you're facing right now. Now, the context, chapter 14, Jesus just fed 5,000 men. There's women and children there, but there's 5,000 men is all they tell us, so maybe up to 10,000 people, 12,000, whatever, we don't know for sure. And what did he do? He didn't send out for Subway. There's 5 loaves, 2 fish, and the disciples are just, this is fantastic. they now realized, like we realized, these people realized Jesus is the Messiah, better than Moses. He's the bread from heaven come down to feed us, take care of us. And so the disciples are thinking, let's just stay here, Jesus. This is it. We've got it made. There's a massive crowd. This will do our church. Shut the doors. That's it. We'll keep these people together. And what does Jesus do? He says, I want you to get in a boat and go to the other side. But it's great here. We've just seen you. Why do we have to go anywhere? That's the idea. That's the context there. They don't want to go. It's a bit like when you take your kids to Disneyland. Katrina over there. Not my kid, but Disneyland. Get them out of the park, back in the car, is impossible. You've sort of got to prize them out there, and it's like, it's a small world. No, it's not. Come on, keep going. Just get them out of there. This is what's going to happen here. In verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples. That word made there means he has to compel them. They don't want to go. But this is it, Lord. We're on the mountaintop. We're here. You're feeding the people. The Messiah's here. You need to get in the boat. Peter, get in the boat and then go. That's the idea. It compels them to get in the boat and go before him to the other side. And he's going to go and send these multitudes away. Send them away. There's so much we could talk about there, but we won't. But he's going to force them to do this. But he knows there's a storm coming. Why on earth would Jesus put them in this boat and say, go to the other side, knowing they're going to go through this massive storm? They're all going to feel like they're going to die. A couple of things. Jesus knows what the storm will accomplish in their lives. And Jesus knows what the storm will accomplish in your life. It's why he takes us through these storms. So we need to trust him. We need to praise him through these storms. So the first thing we see in verse 22 is Jesus brought you here. It's absolutely no accident what you're going through. Nothing catches Jesus by surprise because God is in control. And Jesus has a plan and a purpose for every storm, even the one you're going through now. You may not believe it. You may look at it and say, Steve, this storm is... But that storm, but this, Jesus had a plan and a purpose for every storm. He is God. He sees the beginning from the end. He's in control. He's taking us through this, leading us through this. But sometimes the storm is for our protection, like for the disciples here. Maybe they were going to hang around there. And these people want to make Jesus king by force. We read in the other Gospels. Peter and they would be out with their swords and big fights going on. Jesus is protecting them. And oftentimes that's what a storm does. Jesus is protecting us from ourselves, from a situation we may be about to go into, or even a temptation that might lead us astray. He brings a storm in to protect us. Sometimes it's a correction storm. Jonah would be the classic. God, I hear you clearly. I'm going the other way. Vomits him up on the other side, and it's like, sorry about all the sound effects. But there he ends up the other way. God gets him to where he needs to be through that storm. And sometimes that's what God does for us. He brings this correction storm to say, Steve, you're going this way, but I really need you back this way. And if I listen, everything's fine. The storm's just a little... If not, it's... Okay, I'll go that way. Correction storm. And then finally, perfection storms. That often God is bringing these, just like James is talking about, to help us to mature, to help us to grow, so that we'll learn to trust God and to praise him in the storms. But notice with these disciples, and this is, before we move on from this, it's really important we get this. The storm comes even though they've been obedient to Jesus. Jesus said, get in the boat. They say, okay, we'll get in the boat. We'll row to the other side. And the storm still comes. You need to get that, because the lie of the enemy is when you go through a storm, he's telling you, it's something you've done. God is punishing you. God hates you now. We always go back to the cross. No, God is using it all for the good. God absolutely loves me. So this storm is not for that reason. Because the enemy likes to lie to us, and we just need to say to him, that's not true. I look to the cross. Jesus died in my place. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And nothing will ever change that. So Jesus brought you here. The second thing we see is in verse 23. Jesus sees, Jesus knows, Jesus is praying for you in the storm you're in right now. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. When evening had come, he was alone there. In Mark's gospel, Mark tells the same story, but slightly adds a few bits and pieces. He lets us know that Jesus is watching them from the top of this hill, Mount Arbel, I think is where it was. And you go up there today and look out over Galilee and think, this is where he is. He's watching them. And while he's watching them, he's praying for them. That's amazing. The Lord praying for us. And it's the same for you and I. Jesus, in the storm you're facing, Jesus is praying for you in the storm you're facing. He knows what you're facing. He sees what you're going through, and he's praying for you there. So Jesus sees everything that's going on, but he's always thinking of you. We see it in the Psalms, a wonderful passage here, Psalm 139. It says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand." More than the sand. David is the one writing this, and he goes on to say, "When I awake, I'm still with you. You're still here. You didn't run off when I fell asleep. Wow, you love me." God's eyes are always upon us. Jesus is always watching us. He loves us. God doesn't run away. He loves you so much he can't take his eyes off you, is what David is telling us in this particular psalm. So secondly, not only Jesus sees what's going on, Jesus knows what's going on. He knows exactly what you're going through. Think about that for a second. He knows exactly what you're going through. He can identify with whatever you're facing. He's had his friends abandon him, deny him, falsely accuse him. He's been tortured, beaten, crucified. The sins of the world placed upon him without sin. A world that hated him. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected, to be despised, to go through difficulty and hardships. And so often our storms can feel like that. Nobody will know what I'm going through. Jesus does. He knows exactly what you're going through. Jesus knows our pain like no one else can. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. It talks about the fact that he's this wonderful high priest. And in verse 16 it goes on to say, "Because of that we can now come boldly before his throne of mercy and grace. Receive mercy and grace right when we need it." That's how wonderful our Lord is. So no matter the storm, always come to Jesus. Don't run away from him. Sometimes we go through storms and you think, "Well, I'll just stop going to church." That's the answer. Maybe the storm will stop. Or I'll just stop reading my Bible. I'll stop spending time with the Lord. It's the opposite is true. You just find yourself back at the beginning of that storm again. The Lord's working in us. He loves you too much to leave you. He loves you. He's working in us. Run into his arms. And then thirdly, Jesus is praying for you. That's what Mark tells us when we read that. Jesus is up there and he's praying for them. I pray for Peter. I pray for Mark. I pray for the... Because these guys are busting their gut. They're rowing away and there's waves and winds. And he knows. They're freaking out. Jesus is praying for us. He sees all. He knows all. And he's praying for you always. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. It's that simple. He loves you. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 33, 34. "Who would dare to accuse us whom God has chosen? The judge himself," talking about Jesus, "has declared us free from sin. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And yet Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us." Think about that. It's even before you ask God for anything, whatever you're going through, when you come up, the Lord says, "I know." It's not like, "Oh, really? Sorry, Steve, I didn't see you. Don't help me." No. He knows exactly what we need. Come to him. He's already praying for you. Bring it before his Father in heaven who loves you. When you take comfort in the fact that no matter how big that wave is, how big that storm is, Jesus sees, Jesus knows, and Jesus is praying for you. Praying for me. Especially for me. But he's praying for you too. But he's praying for each of us, okay? He loves us. Thirdly, we see in verse 24 and 25, Jesus will come to you in the storm. He will meet you in the storm right where you're at. Notice, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea." The Sea of Galilee is talking about there. The Sea of Galilee, if you don't know, it's a big lake, really. But they call it the Sea of Galilee. It's really big, about 13 miles across. Every so often you get 12-foot waves coming in the Sea of Galilee. The winds come rushing in and it's like, whoa. So suddenly it goes from being a nice, placid, peaceful place to suddenly these storms coming in. But that's where they are. They're in the middle of this Sea of Galilee. It says, "The boat was now in the middle of the sea." Now, if it's 13 miles across, they're about 6 miles in. It's too far to go back. It's too far. It's that you're stuck in the middle. You're stuck there. And it says, "They were in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary," which the word literally means the wind was tormenting this boat. It's like a cat and a mouse. You know, doing this. That's the idea here. That's what's happening there. And these are fishermen. So they're like, "Yo, ho, 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 it's okay. We're fine with this." But very shortly, it's, "Yo, ho, ho, ho. Oh dear, we're all going to die. We're not going to make it. That's what's going to happen. They're going to start doing what all of us do. We start worrying. We start freaking out in the middle of our storm. Notice it says, it's the fourth watch of the night, verse 25. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. They set off about 8 hours ago. And then it was beautiful, the seagulls and whatever. Oh, yes, we'll go to the other side. Now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black, and the waves are coming, and the wind is, they can't see where they're going. And oh, my goodness, terrible. It's dark. They're wet, miserable, exhausted, frightened, maybe feeling abandoned. Where's Jesus? Why did he send us across here? What's going on? You might be thinking the same thing in your storm. Why would Jesus let me go through this? Doesn't he love me? Why am I doing this? What's going on? Doubt comes in. We begin to question, does Jesus really care? Well, the promise we see in verse 24 and 25 here is that he will come to you right in the middle of your storm. That's when he comes to them, right at the difficult point, in the middle of the storm, the darkest hour, 3 a.m. in the morning. Have you ever had that when I was doing my ambulance, working as an ambulance officer? You didn't want a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, if the alarm goes off, and you're, oh, great. It's a terrible time, and it's, everything looks worse. It's dark. It's not late enough to be dawn yet. It's not still 10 o'clock at night. It's the bleakest time. So what do we need when it's really dark? We need the light to come. And guess who's going to come? The light of the world is going to come walking to the disciples, come walking into your life. Suddenly that light comes. That's what I needed, the light. I needed Jesus. That's what we need. And he comes when they're exhausted. That's the second thing. They notice that it's 3 o'clock in the morning, 8 hours. Now, most of us, I mean, I could probably row for 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. But 8 hours they've been rowing, in the middle of a storm, they're ready to give up. But that's when Jesus comes. They're exhausted. They've come to the end of their own resources. Right there. Psalm 46 says this. Be still and know that I am God. And I love the little bird down there, because I deliberately picked that one with a little bird on it, because so often we need to remember that wonderful story Jesus tells about God takes care of the little sparrows. He'll take care of you. So be still and know that I'm God. When he says be still, the word literally means stop trying to fix it all yourself. It literally says drop your hands. Let go. Let God take care of it. Be still and know, meaning experience the fact that God will deal with this. He is God, you're not. Let go. Let him take care of it. Stop struggling to fix your own storms is what he's trying to tell us here, because Jesus is going to come in the middle of that storm. And then notice verse 25. Jesus is walking on the seas, walking on the waves, the very thing they're most freaked out about, the thing that's frightening them the most. Jesus shows, I am Lord over all. Even the wind, the waves, everything. I am God. And think about that so often in our lives, the storms we face. Death, big one. We're fearful of it. Cancer, finances, security, all the different things we worry about. Jesus comes in the middle of all of those things, and it's like he walks over those and says, I am in control of all of this. I am God. You can trust me through all of this. And he uses it to bring himself closer to us, often closer than we've ever been with him before. You talk to anybody who's been through some major trials. There's a few of you in here. Faith in the Lord is even stronger than it was if everything's swimmingly, because of the fact that we've had to get close to him. We've had to see him at work. We've relied upon him, trusted upon him. Romans 8, that all things work together for good to those who love God. That God is working it all out. God has a plan. He's going to take care of it all. And then notice, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and think about that, this Jesus walking on the sea. He's not walking on a sandbank. He's walking on the waves. It says, they were troubled. Great word. The word troubled just means distressed, freaking out. They're totally losing the plot right now. If things couldn't get any worse, we're all going to die. We've been rowing for 8 hours. We're exhausted. You know, we just... And John says, I think somebody's walking towards us. In the middle, it's a ghost. It's like things couldn't get any worse. That's the idea. That's what happens here. And they cried out for fear. They're absolutely... And it's Jesus coming to see them in the middle of the storm, walking on that wave. But sometimes we're afraid when we see God at work. Sometimes, but God, I want you to work a different way. I don't want you to strip that away from me. I want you to leave me with all of this, but just give me that. But God is at work. And if he is Lord, like we sang today, when someone's Lord, we say, whatever you want is best. I will trust you. I'll follow you. So notice verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, boo. No, he doesn't, sorry. Just in case you're not following along here. Like, where does it say that? That's the Hebrew or the Greek? What is this? It's a lesser known Greek translation here. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. It means take courage. Take courage. It's me. I'm with you. You were never on your own. I was watching. I was praying for you. I love you. It's your storm. God's the... Oh, so really, Steve? You were going down for the third time? I didn't even notice. I didn't hear you. No, he's always got his eyes on us. He loves us so much. And then he comes to us and meets us right in the storm. And that's what happens here. He comes to us in the storm and says, fear not, I am with you. So the question then is, well, how does Jesus speak to us today? How would he speak to us today? And we're going to do a couple here. You probably know all of these. I go through them quite often because they're important. The first one is prayer. So often prayer is us talking to the Lord, but we need to stop and listen. And allow him to stop. Stephen, turn left. It's just that God then speaks to us, that still small voice, and leads us and guides us. Look at Philippians here, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything big, it says. No, it doesn't. It says don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and with your petitions being your requests, and thanksgiving, present those requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. We need to pray. Remember that song, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Why are we trying to carry this? Take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Pray about everything. Secondly, we need to read his word. Are we reading his word? We've got it here. Maybe on a Sunday we dust it up. Where's that book again? Oh, there it is. Read it. If you need help, talk to one of us. We'll help you find some great passages in there. Read through it. But then earmark certain passages. Write them down at the beginning of your Bible and say, look, I'm having a tough week. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Let's go to some of these key verses and say, right, Lord, I want you to speak to me today. And then move on from there. So read his word. Are we reading it? But the things we miss out if we don't read his word. And I've written down just a couple here. Look at this one here. Psalm 23, 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You might be going through the valley of the shadow of death. You need to be reminded by the Lord, he's with you every step of the way, holding on to you. Jeremiah 1:8, do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. I will rescue you. He's our deliverer. Exodus 14:13, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. And in Psalm 34:18, one of my favorites, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Because you're always thinking God's just so powerful. But he's also so gentle. And he comes along and says, let me put you back together here. Let me take care of you. Jesus is speaking, are we listening? And then the final one, which you may not want to hear, is fellowship. Pray, read your Bible, and stay at home. No, pray, read your Bible, and meet with other Christians, other believers. So that not only do you get to love them, they get to love you. And then you can share your issue. Hey, can you pray for me? You don't need to go into all the nitty gritty. Just pray for me. I'm going through a tough time, or it's difficult, or it's heavy. And then sometimes they'll say, well, actually, when I was going through, this is what the Lord showed me. And we minister to one another. We love one another. We share one another's burdens, just like John's been talking about. It's real. And in verse 28 to 33, we're going to look at here the fact that Jesus will help you to grow. He'll turn our fear to faith, our faith to action, and that action to worship, where we worship the Lord. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And this is an important thing here about presumption. So often we can step off thinking, I think I can do this for the Lord. I do it. I've done it. I do it. We all can do this. Presumption. I think I know what the Lord wants me to do. I'll go and do this instead of waiting. Saying, Lord, are you calling me to step out of this boat and go here? You call me to step out. That's what Peter does. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, call me. Command me to come to you, and then I will come. And that's sometimes we get in this trouble. But ask Jesus, wait, to listen for his voice. Then when he calls to say, now it's time to step out, then step out. Then act, trust, and obey him. Peter noted what he does, verse 28. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, I mean, can you imagine if you're the rest of the disciples? It's like, we're all going to die. There's a ghost. Peter says, I think it's Jesus. I'm not sure. Yeah, he said, come. I'm getting out of the boat. It's like, really, Peter? I mean, this guy is great. Think about that. Everybody else is holding on for dear life. And Peter's jumping out of the boat to walk to Jesus, to walk to his Lord. It's wonderful. And it's what Jesus does in each of our lives if we respond to his call. It gives that courage, that faith to step out. I remember when someone asked Carolyn a while back and said, look, I don't have the faith to do this. You know, you've sold or you've given away and you quit it and you moved to the other side of the world and you're doing this type of thing. He says, that's because God hasn't given you the call yet. Once God gives you that call, he will then give you the courage, the faith to step out and do it. Now, you still need to be obedient. Sometimes we go, no, not yet. Then the storms might come until eventually we go in the right direction. But listen to the Lord. He'll do amazing things in our lives if we just trust him. But Peter knows the best place to be in any storm is where? Not in a boat with the disciples, out of the boat with Jesus. Jesus is where we need to be no matter what the storm is. Be close to Jesus. And Peter's doing really well in verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was powerful, was intense, he was afraid. And that's us, isn't it? In our walk with the Lord. There's times where our faith is, yes, Lord, yes. Ooh, this is going to be tough. Help me, I'm sinking down. So we do exactly what Peter does. We think everything's fine, and then suddenly, I remember when we were in New York the first time we were there, and after about 4 or 5 years there, we'd started off with a bank balance, and every month the bank balance was disappearing because we were self-funded missionaries. And so we were watching this go down, and every month I was getting more and more worried. Well, Carolyn, we've only got $4 million in the bank now. No, they can't. But Carolyn, you know, we're down to $30,000. And then we're down to $20,000. I'm getting out. I'm going to get a job quick. We're down to $10,000. And I mean, one of my friends, one of my missionary friends, Steve, just give it to me. Save yourself all this grief. Just give me the money now. So he's now got a nice car and he's driving. No. And then eventually suddenly there's this peace when you hit the bottom. This isn't so bad. And it was right at that time, right when we came down to the last, literally the last dollars in the bank there, that someone contacted us from America and said, hey, we'd like to put you on as missionaries with our church, Costa Mesa. We want to put you in missionary and we'll help financially with what you're going through. It's like, wow. But it's not the way I would have chosen to do it. I want to have a bank balance. I know you guys don't need that sort of stuff. You're much more able to step out in faith. But I needed this. I thought I needed it. And then suddenly it's like, no, the Lord can take care of you. And he does. He takes us through all of this. But Peter gets his eyes off the Lord, and he was afraid and beginning to sink. And that's really another one there. Notice he doesn't wait till he's totally sunk. As soon as you notice you're going down at all, Lord, and this is what tends to happen to me, I don't know about you, I can tell my faith is getting stronger when, as the trial comes, I then call out to the Lord. I don't wait 6 months of the trial to then call out to the Lord. Oh, I get it, Lord. Yeah, I see. It's been 6 months. As soon as you know, hey, Lord, I know what this means. Help me, please. Show me. What should I do? Give me wisdom. I need to know you're there. Take me through this. And Peter cries out and says, Lord, save me. And again, Peter's classic. We won't go into this, but it's not a long prayer. It's not like God's waiting there, well, Steve, that prayer wasn't long enough. You didn't use enough these, thous. You have no theological training at all there. What is that? No, it's just, Lord, save me, rescue me, help me. And that's what we need to do. Rely upon the Lord. He was afraid. Beginning to sing, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And that's the same thing for each of us. When we're in this storm, in these difficulties, call out for the Lord. One thing I didn't quote there was John 16:33 that I started out with when he talked about, in this world you will have tribulation. But Jesus goes on and finishes it this way. He says, in me you will have peace. It's in him. We need to be in him. We need to be trusting in him, keeping our eyes on Jesus in the storm and out of the storm. Turning your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So often we're too busy looking at the waves. We're looking at the bank balance. Or we're looking at the job not happening or happening. Or we're looking at the doctor's reports or whatever it is. Not to trivialize any of these things. But we need to keep it in perspective with how great God is. And trusting him, relying upon him. And notice verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Jesus, no delay, no, well, Peter, you got yourself into this mess, you know, what a shame. No, immediately he reaches out, he grabs him. Peter, he will catch you, he'll take care of you, you can trust him to be there for you no matter the storm. Now notice though, the storm is still raging at this point. It's just that Peter is now in Jesus' arms. Sometimes you're going through a storm and I'm not guaranteeing the storm will stop, which will happen shortly. But I'm saying that during the storm, you'll be with Jesus. The best place to be in any storm, with Jesus. Jesus with you through it all. Then verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now the disciples are almost more freaked out about the wind stopping when Jesus walks into the boat. Because I don't know if you've ever been in a storm before, but oftentimes the storms will come, reach a pinnacle, and then it'll gradually die. There's gusts of winds and all the rest of it might be 20, 30 minutes, and it's eventually gone. This one is like, gone. What is this? Who is this man? Who is Jesus? We thought we knew who he was back there with the bread, feeding these people. Who is he? He is God. Because only God can command the winds to stop. Only God can step on water like this. Only God can do these things. It was that psalm we read earlier, Psalm 107 there. That was all about God. And yet Jesus does what God alone should be able to do, because Jesus is God. So the storm stops immediately. And look at the result, verse 33. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. That's the response. When you see Jesus in your life, the storm you're facing, whatever difficulties you're going through, as you see him, you think, Lord, why did I wait so long to get in touch? Why didn't I call earlier? And then you see him and you realize, oh Lord, I want to worship you. Thank you. Praise you. You're a wonderful God. I can trust you. I want to worship you. I want to be at your feet. And that's what the disciples learned there. Now Peter later on would write something maybe about some of this experience, something maybe about what he learned with the Lord. And it's in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. He says this. Oh, that was Psalm 107, sorry. Let's move on from that one. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Peter saying, I know what it's like. You're trying to carry your burdens. You're trying to carry your cares. No, give them to Jesus. Cast them upon Jesus, because he cares for you. William Barclay talking about this says, nothing is too big for God's power. Nothing is too small for God's fatherly care. Whatever storm you're facing, the answer is always, bring it to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus puts it this way. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened or heavy laden, and I will give you exactly what you need, rest with him, tied in with Jesus. And in verse 34, when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Jesus will see you through every storm, even this storm you're facing right now. Remember, Jesus told them, you're going to go to the other side. He didn't let them drown in the middle. They went to the other side. Jesus will see us through whatever storm we're facing. And even if the storm we're facing is death, Jesus conquered sin and death. As we take our last breath here on the earth, stinky. And then you.
I'm in heaven.
It's like, wow, what a great smell. We're in heaven now. And then you open your eyes, and who's up there with Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Even if it is death, he takes us to the other side safely to the other side with him. He never lets you go. He's with you all the way through it. Enter into your rest. Here's the place I prepared earlier. Wow, really, for me? And then finally, one thing I just want to mention here, that Jesus is always with us. He will never, ever leave us. You'll never be alone, no matter the storm, no matter how big it is, no matter how difficult it is. And this is Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Don't be dismayed," meaning don't give up. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There's no qualification there with if you're doing the right stuff for the bad stuff. No, God is with us through the good times, the bad times. God is always with us. Wherever you go, he is there. He's always with you. So as we go through these storms, just to wrap this all up here, remembering Jesus brought you here. It's no accident. Jesus sees, Jesus knows, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus will come to you in the middle of your storm. He'll meet you in that storm. Jesus will help you grow. Your fear will turn to faith. Your faith will result in action, and your action will then lead to worship, where you worship the Lord, even in the storm. And then Jesus will see you through every storm, because Jesus is with you in every storm. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And that again is ever, 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 ever. Never. I'm going to read one little bit from a song that I was listening to this week called "Praise You in the Storm" by a group called Casting Crowns. It's a story. I was listening to the guy in an interview. "Why do you write this song? It's a great song. But why did you write this song?" It's a story about the faith of a mother and daughter. They were watching this mother and daughter. They knew them. They were sort of fans who got in touch with them. Then they found out the daughter was dying of cancer, and they watched the mum and the daughter deal with that storm, going through this cancer. They looked at their faith and how their faith in Jesus helped them go through this storm, to face the storm, to trust God through the storm, and ultimately to praise God in the storm. And this is the song they wrote. I've got some of it up here for you. I'll read it out to you. It says, "I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. You would have stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder roars, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, 'I am with you.' And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, that you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm." What will you do when the storm hits? Will you trust him? Will you praise him through the storm? Heavenly Father, we thank you. What a blessing it is to be with your people. What a blessing it is, Lord, to know you, our God, the Lion, the Lamb, our Savior, our Deliverer. You give us courage to face every day. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us not only the courage, but you give us the power to live this Christian life. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for blessing my heart. Thank you, Lord, that as we all deal with our storms, that we can trust you and we can praise you through the storm. So we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you.